Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's good to see you all. Some of the faces we haven't seen for quite a while, but it's great to see you all. Amen. I don't know who's more nervous, my husband at the back or me in front. Or you people here. Are y'all nervous about what I'm going to say? Okay. I think I'm cheating on eggs this morning. Amen. But last week, I think we had a good time. I think we had a good time with God's word, those who were here. We spoke about family. How important is family? God instituted family. We looked at different types of family. We looked at Adam and Eve. That's where it started. And then in the Old Testament, Tilly, you're going to help me. I mustn't go too fast. Eh? Don't forget. Give me that royal wave. And we looked at in the Old Testament, we have the households, and then we have the clans, and then we have the tribes, but they're all family. And we look at the New Testament, we have the family of God. We are not islands. We belong to the family of God. God called us. So today I'm going to go a bit further. We sort of gave the baseline, but how can we thrive? How can we thrive as God's family? We need to live a life as God's dearly loved children. Do you know that you are dearly loved? Do you understand the depth of it? You are dearly loved. I am dearly loved. We need to grasp that. So we spoke about that. Let's read our scripture verse. Ephesians 3, 14 to 20. Sorry, before we read it. Okay, let's read it first. 14 to 20. Paul says, for this reason, I must go back a little bit. I'll just go back. Don't worry, Andrew, it's fine from my side. It says, I ask that you do not lose, verse 12, 13 before that. So I ask that you do not lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. That family name, we are God's children, we are named. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit. We sang it this morning. Strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Not outside, inside. Verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do what? To do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Some versions say imagine. According to the power that is at work within us. Where is it working? Inside of us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling for which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, there is one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. One God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. How many fathers do we have? One Father. One Father, we belong to the family of God. Now, if we go back to this letter that is written here, Paul writes this letter to the church. Now, it's not actually to the church of Ephesus. This is a circular letter. But it is understood that the letter went first to Ephesus. Anyway, this letter is written. Now, I want to give you some background. Paul the apostle is writing while he is under house arrest. Okay? For the teaching of Christ. He's awaiting trial. Paul had been in Ephesus for over 3 years. Those people knew him. They loved him. He taught them. Their hearts were gravitated towards him and towards Christ. And in this letter, he doesn't address any problem. As far as most letters we find there's a problem that's addressed. He expounds on the miracle, the majesty, and the mystery of this great salvation. He speaks about that. The salvation that came through Jesus Christ that was long promised and now revealed. So God gives him that privilege and honor that he can understand this mysterious thing that has happened. What happens here now? In Ephesus and also in the body of Christ, in other places, God's family, the church, is being threatened. The new believers in this situation are losing heart. Our apostle, our leader, is in prison. Things are at stake. Today, natural family, our biological family, our family life, and the family of Jesus Christ are also facing threats and persecution. There are different types of threats we are facing. We are facing threats from the world. We are facing threats from all sides, from the enemy, directly with persecution. Now, I just want to undergird this thing about family. Jesus said, "Who is my brother and who is my mother? Those who do the will of my Father." So we are all, just to undergird that, we are all part of God's family. Now Paul, well, what does Paul do? He knows the church is losing heart. The church is becoming down. They're becoming afraid. If Paul can be persecuted, what about them? They're weak. They are new believers. What does Paul do? He writes a letter of encouragement. Instead of whining, instead of complaining about his imprisonment, he writes a letter to encourage them not to lose heart. In that letter, he teaches them, and we've also got the letter, he teaches them on the purpose and the nature of the church. Who they are and how they should live and how they should behave in the face of opposition. Paul also states, through the church, that means you and I as well, the manifold wisdom of God shall be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. We are called for a higher purpose than what we can even think or imagine. It's through the church that God's wisdom will be made manifest. How does Paul respond? Paul says, "Do not lose heart for what I am suffering for you, which is for your glory." Paul endured the pain of persecution, imprisonment, to bring the good news, to bring new life to the Gentiles. There was a price to pay. Like a mother, when a mother bears her child, that she bears that child with pain. There's birth pains to bring forth life. There's always a price involved. There's a sacrifice involved. There is a sacrifice involved. We cannot sit and we think, oh, Jesus is up there in heaven. Jesus is praying for me. And then we just have a short WhatsApp prayer. It's not enough. It's not enough. There is a price to pay. Jesus himself was on his knees 3 hours in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke tells us that the way he was in distress, crying out to God, it was like blood. There is a price to pay. We have salvation that is free, but for us to walk in victory and for others to come to Christ, there is a price to pay. So we saw, what does Paul do? He writes a letter of encouragement from where he is. He prays for them. What can you and I do? I just want to take myself a little further. I missed something. Last week we also spoke about, we said that family is the base of foundation. Family is God's idea. And the scripture says, which has been threatened, when the foundations are being threatened, what can the righteous do? That's Psalm 11, verse 3. Our foundations are being threatened. What can you and I do? What are we doing? What are we asking God? Are we asking God to help us? Are we just ignoring that our foundations are being shaken? We wait until it happens close to our family, then we wake up. We need to open our eyes and see what is happening. So Paul prays for them. The scripture says he bows his knees before the Father, demonstrating reverence and submission and earnestness. Now, Jews mostly stand in prayer or they stood in prayer, but Paul kneels. He kneels. This is an earnest cry. He's crying out for the family of God. He's crying out for the people of God. He's crying out for those whom he's labored for, those whom he's put effort in. He's made a sacrifice to bring them the good news. He doesn't want them to lose out. How desperate are you? How desperate am I? What are we doing? Paul prays for inner strength and power to comprehend and to know of Christ's love. So I want to focus on two things. You can read the book of Ephesians in your own time. You read the rest of it because there's more practical advice. But there's two points I feel to focus this morning. Inner strength is one. And the other one is knowing and grasping the love of God. Why do we need inner strength? We need power inside of us. It's opposite to the world. Have you heard that at advert? I can't even remember if I saw it on TV. I think it was on TV. I haven't heard it. But it says, there's a whole advert and it says, it's not inside, it's on top. We people focus on the outside, but God focuses on the inside. This is where the power is. This is where the power must flow through. Christ is in us. His glory is in us. It's got to flow out of here. Out of your innermost belly will flow rivers of living water. You are allowed to say amen. You are allowed to smile. Please help me. If you're all so serious, it's really difficult on top here. You know, even if you give me a wave or something here. But the whole thing is we need strength inside. Ephesians 6, Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Not in your own strength, and the strength of his might. It's actually parallel. It's more an emphasis. Verse 16 in this passage says, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit. The ESV says something beautiful, says something as well. That according to the riches of his glory. Paul is praying that the church be strengthened within. Deep within. The common Jewish Bible says, I pray from the treasures of his glory. There are treasures in heaven for us. That he will empower you with inner strength. And that is available for you and I. All we have to do is to call upon the Lord. All we have to do is to gravitate ourselves towards the tools and the principles and the things he has laid down for us. Why do we need to be strengthened by power? Why do we need to be strengthened by his spirit? Verse 17 tells us that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Jesus wants to make his home in your heart. He wants to be at home in your heart. I'll come back to that now. The first reason is, why do we need to be strengthened with power? The first one, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Another reason is we are facing a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle against evil powers. The second point is we are born again, but the old nature is still there. It has to be crucified. The I, the me, what I want, what I like, what I don't like. That's how we go on and on in the body of Christ. I don't like this and I don't like that. All those things have to die, even in our homes. Because that's where our Christianity starts. In our homes, we are greatly tested there. That's where self has to die. And we sometimes have to die 100 times. It's not my will, Lord. Your will be done. I don't like this, but Lord, help me. God, guide me. The second reason. The third reason is because we have the system of the world that is raging against God's righteous system. That is why we need power inside. We need to be empowered. Our faith needs to be lifted up. We also need power to witness for Christ. We need power to witness. We need power to come here and sing a song. Come here and give a testimony. Come and say something. Come and give God glory. Come and do a spiritual dance. We need power. We need people here to come and help with the praise and worship. Come in faith. Nobody comes fully enabled. We come in faith. We entrust ourselves to God. And God enables those who come forward. God empowers those who are willing. Are you willing to be used of God? Are you willing for God's power to flow through you? It's not about us. We are weak. but He is strong. The glory is of Him. We are all earthen vessels. We are weak. We are broken vessels. But that glory has to come forth. It has to come forth. So why do we need to be strengthened? We said Christ wants to live, make His home in our hearts. He wants to be totally at home. We need strength. We also need strength to understand, to grasp, to comprehend the breadth, the height, and the depth of God's love. To know that love, not just in the heads and the mouths, but here inside of you, and that it flows out from here to others. I want to speak about the dwell part. To dwell, Jesus wants to dwell or to live. I want to ask us some questions, myself as well. This question, this message is for me as well. Is Christ at home in my heart? Is Christ at home in your heart? You know, when people come into your home, there are two types. You either come in as a guest, or you're part of that family. You're living permanently. And there are different privileges for guests, and there are different privileges for those who are staying in the home, or those who are staying long term. For example, those who those who are staying longer, they can open the fridge, they can go to the bathroom, they can go here, go there, and things, that type of thing. Is Christ at home in every sphere of your life? Or are you closing Him out? Is he at home in your finances? Is He at home in your work life? Is He at home in your spiritual life? Is He at home in your sexual life? Is He at home? How does Christ feel? Is Christ comfortable? Is He free? Is He at work? Through His Spirit, by faith, remember. Is Christ only at home on Sundays? Is Christ only at home at Bible study? Is He only at home when you gather with other believers? In other words, is Jesus Lord of your life? At all places, at all times. The point is, it's not for condemnation. The point is we have to examine ourselves. The Lord looks, stands in His holy temple after that Psalm 11:3, and it says, "What can the righteous do when the things are falling?" It says, "But the Lord is in His holy temple. He's examining the hearts of the righteous. Whose hearts is examined? Our hearts. So we must examine our hearts. Say, take time out to reflect. Are things the way they should be?" The first point was, why do we need to be strengthened? We've got those points. Because we're in a battle, we need to overcome, okay? The second point, now how can we be strengthened? I know many of you will know these things, but it's good for us to be reminded. I have to be reminded. I have to remind myself. I have to encourage myself. You have to encourage yourself. You have to remind yourself. And if we forget, we ask God, we ask the Holy Spirit to remind us the right way. The first thing we need to do is God's Word. We need to read it, meditate on it, memorize it. Maybe sometime we won't be able to carry Bibles. And what will you do? Maybe you're in a place where you don't have the written Word. What will you do? You need to memorize it. That Word that you memorize when you're in temptation, when you're in trial, the Holy Spirit will remind you of that Word that is inside. If there's nothing inside, what is He going to remind you? The first point is God's Word. We're going to read it regularly, try to understand it, meditate on it, pray it, confess it, share it, share the Word of God. The Word is meant to be shared. It's bread to be broken. It's the bread of life. Share it. It can't multiply if you keep it to yourself. It's going to go stale. God's Word is alive and active, sharper than any two double-edged sword. It divides asunder the bones from the marrow, the spirit from the soul. It discerns the intents and the thoughts of our hearts. So don't feel bad if you be convicted. That's God's Word, and it's God's grace and God's love that is calling us back to Himself, that is putting us back in line. We go a little bit here and He brings us back on line. We go a little bit there and we fall a bit, He picks us up through His Word, through His Spirit. So the first point, to be strengthened inwardly, God's Word, make it priority. The second word is obedience. We've got to obey the Word of God. There's some areas that we might become slack because of different reasons or challenges or whatever, but we can ask God to help us, to strengthen us in the areas that we struggle. Ask the Lord. We know, each one knows where they struggle. Paul tells the rest of, in Ephesians, he tells us, as I said, read it, how to live as dearly loved children in his family. how we must relate to each other, how we must submit to each other, how that balance and harmony can come as a living. At the other point as well, he tells us how to live in God's family and also in our natural families, our biological families or whatever family you're in, extended family or single family, but in our families. Are you living in the light with no secret things of the dark? We'll come to that. We need to walk in the light. Ephesians 5, 1 to 14. We need to walk in the light and obey promptly. If the Holy Spirit shows us something, we need to confess, we need to repent, and ask for forgiveness. Receive that forgiveness. Receive it. The moment a lot of people struggle, most humans struggle, to receive forgiveness. When we say, God, forgive me, he forgives you. Say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord, for taking me back. Receive it. And thank you for new strength. God waits for us. God welcomes us. He restores us. He is a good, good Father. He is a loving, loving Father. He's not that stern judge that many of us, people were taught. You know, he judges sin, but he loves his children. He judges wrongdoing, evil, but he loves his children. Judas, not Iscariot, in John 14, verse 22 to 23, he asked this question. He said to Jesus, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered, listen carefully. He says, Jesus wants to manifest himself to you, to me, to all of us. He wants to manifest his love, his beauty, everything that's amazing. And Jesus answers, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Jesus wants to be at home in your life. So we said to strengthen God's word, obedience. Another point that can help us is quietness and trust. When something happens, we begin to become agitated and worried and concerned. But there's a time to be quiet and a time to trust. Isaiah 50 verse 15 teaches us, in repentance and rest is your salvation. We need to repent and rest. In quietness and trust is your strength. You want strength? In quietness and trust. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. You know from Psalm 46, we all know that one very well. Be still and know I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted all over the earth. God will exalt himself. What is our part? To acknowledge him, to honor him, to wait on him. We need to listen. When you're quiet, we can listen. Hear what is the Spirit saying? What is God saying to me? Paul also speaks of the arm in Ephesians. These items are metaphors. They are spiritual resources given to those who are in Christ. There's truth, there's righteousness, there's gospel, faith, salvation, and the word of God. The weapons for our warfare are spiritual. Why? Because they are rooted in prayer. Everything is, you can't just say, I take on the sword, I put on the helmet, but you haven't prayed, you aren't praying, you aren't living in the word. It is a good proclamation, yes, but you need to be praying, you need to be prayerful about it. You need to know that it's the power of God that will work through that. The next point I want to speak about, the next point that helps us to be strengthened, we're speaking about being strengthened inside, remember? Strengthened and overcoming is prayer, and I want to add fasting. So it is prayer and fasting. Make time to have fellowship and communion with God. Make an appointment. Have an appointment. You and your Father. You and your Father. Now, making time to pray includes the short prayers while we drive. It includes the big prayers while something happens, Lord, help me. Throughout our day, we're inviting and we must be aware of His presence. Just sit still and imagine and realize God is with you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for trying. And acknowledge you. Sometimes we rattle off. We're in a monologue. Not in communion. When you're in communion with somebody, in fellowship with somebody, you look at them in their eyes. You talk to them. You engage with them. And if I have a long time to that point now, God's power is
God isn't just powerful for himself. He's powerful also towards us, to work through us. Ephesians 3:20 says, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above that which you ask or even imagine. When you ask God for something, he's able to do much more, much greater things than we ask. We also learned from Jeremiah 33 verse 3, the prophet was told, God said to him, call unto me. How are you calling unto God? He says, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things in your life. You know, when we're going through a difficult situation, it's so easy for us to look around and we want to call here and call there, but we've got to learn to stop or on our knees or on our faces or on our sit or whatever suits you. Call unto God. God, you are my Father, help me. God, you are my strength, help me. Yes, we are there for each other, that is really good. But also, just calling unto him, having that discipline to remind us, Lord, you are the one who gives me strength. You are the one who provides me job. Lord, you are the one that gives me good work. You are the one that gives me joy. And then the scripture also says further on, praying at all times in the verse 18. Ephesians 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. There's all different types of prayer and petitions. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions of God, and be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. If you've got nothing else to pray, you pray for your family, pray for all the saints, pray for everybody else. I want to focus on two things. Watch my time, I'm short. Two things. Praying in the Spirit. What does it mean to you? Jude says, but you can now build yourself up in the most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. That means praying in harmony with the leading of the Holy Spirit, rather than with one's own agenda. There is a time for your intercession or supplications of agenda, but we need to first listen to the Holy Spirit. Hear what is the Holy Spirit visible. The Apostle Paul, Apostle John, the Bible says John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Listen carefully. We are not always in the Spirit. We are not always in the Spirit. We have to prepare for prayer. We have to recollect, not rushing. We have to be spiritually minded, engage ourselves. There's effort and discipline. We have to be calm and quiet. Get the distractions away. Be calm and quiet and submit to the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. We have to have a realization, as I said earlier, God is in me. Jesus is with me. Jesus is here. I'm talking to you. Jesus is here in our midst as we're talking. Where two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst. Now, a deep consciousness of Jesus and his work. We need to be deeply conscious. While that happens, our hearts are warmed while we pray. Our hearts are melted. Sometimes there's tears of joy. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Romans 8 says, we do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. So sometimes it's a cry within. Sometimes it's a groan. I don't know. If any of you have really been into decision meetings, there's groaning that takes place, there's crying that takes place, we can't understand it. It doesn't look nice, but God's Spirit is at work. Then I will speak very shortly, my time's up. Praying in tongues is another way we can build our spirits. It is in the Word of God. You may not believe it, not accept it, whatever the case may be, but the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 to 29, he who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. We're so worried that we must hear the word, but the person speaking to God, for no one understands it, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Our Christianity is a mystery. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy, it's mysterious, but it is real, it is powerful, it is eternal. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their calling. I'm going to go quicker for reaching to this point. So basically, what I'm trying to encourage you is to say, there's also praying in tongues to build yourself up. There's speaking in tongues, and the interpretation would be in a common place like this, and praying in your closet, you pray in tongues, or in a prayer meeting, you pray in tongues together, or if you are a group, and you're all of the same mind, you pray in tongues to hear, to get in tune, to get the wavelength of the Spirit. You pray in tongues. Okay. You can speak more about that, copy it at any other time. I want to say, Paul had tried to help us, to show us everything is about order and peace, so we know that. He says, two, when you come together, one is a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for the Lord come. I want to quickly do the comprehend the line. So our one point was being empowered by the Spirit, main point. The next point is to comprehend, to grasp, to know, to experience the love of God. God's love is not just an emotion, but it is a spiritual strength that comes from Him. God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given. So it's poured into our hearts. It's us that need to release it. It's us that need to be aware of it and allow it to work for us. Corrie ten Boom shared this amazing testimony. She was in the Nazi camp, and she had, before that passed away, she had seen how the Jews were badly treated, ill-treated and killed and stuff. And she had seen her own sister in front of her, who was actually killed. And then the Lord, that day she died, then she miraculously was released from prison. And the Lord sent her all over with her, on his suitcase, traveling all over, sharing the gospel of Christ. Somewhere in America, she had spoken at a meeting, and a man came up to her and said, Corrie. And when she looked at him, she recognized he was the commander or the soldier who had actually ill-treated her sister, and her sister died. And she said, the resentment welled up inside of her, that thing against him. And this is what she said. She just prayed. She said to the Lord, she said, you have poured out your love into my heart. I and I must forgive you. Let your love, basically saying, let your love in me forgive me. Let your love in me. So this is what we must do. Let God's love in us. I cannot forgive. I cannot resent in my own natural strength. But through the Spirit, through that love inside of us, the Holy Spirit empowers believers to love in difficult circumstances. When you feel like your partner is terrible, He's going to help you to love. When your children are letting you down, He's going to help you to love. Now, how is this love? This love is, as Christ is dwelling in us, as we allow Him to dwell, that love is, that presence and that love transforms our attitudes, and it becomes a foundation for everything. Paul uses the term rooted and grounded. Love is that foundation. We must be rooted and grounded in God's love. We must be rooted and grounded even in living out that love. Just like a plant, yes, we have one of the plants here. But just as a tree needs deep roots to stand firm. But it needs the soil. And our soil is God's love. Our foundation is God's love. So we need to read about God's love. We need to meditate on God's love. We need to reflect on God's love. As a tree or a branch gravitates towards the sun, it's got its roots, but it's got the plant area of leaves, but then it always goes towards the sun. We must gravitate to the sunshine of God's love. We must bask in the sunshine of God's love. We must receive it and thank Him and ask Him to fill our hearts with His love so that it flows from us to others. When that happens, it provides stability, guides our decisions and our relationships. Then we have to comprehend this love, not alone, not alone. It says, with all the saints, it says, alongside others. Psalm 68 verse 13 says, God places the lonely in families, but the rebellious they dwell in dry places. We need each other. We need to grow together. We need to learn from each other. We need to help one another. We need to honor each other. We need to all sometimes correct each other. Unity, relationship, connection. This is all part of it. We need to also, as we still talk about that, we need to grasp. Paul says this love is wide, it is high, it is deep. I will tell you, God's love is total. The love we're depending on is total. It covers every corner of our experience. It reaches the whole world. It's greater than the ocean. God's love is the breadth of your own experience. Whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're going through, God's love can reach you. It continues to the length of our lives. It doesn't stop when we're 60 or 70. It continues to the length of our lives. It reaches the height of our celebration and elation. It reaches down to the depths of despair, discouragement, and even death. No matter what you're going through, call on God's love. Meditate on God's love. Receive God's love. Romans 8:39, Paul describes God's love immeasurable, inexhaustible. No matter what you are doing, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Reach out for that love. Ask Him to embrace you. Ask Him to comfort you. Understanding His love leads to a life of compassion, forgiveness, and service. Love becomes a defining characteristic of our life, influencing how we treat others. Living the fullness of God, all believers, every family, this is for every family, in your home, your extended family, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Arise, O sleeper, we stand up until that. Arise, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Days are evil, but do not be unwise. Understand what the will of God is. Do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Addressing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Giving thanks always and for everything. Not for some things. Giving thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence. So, default. Allow the Holy Spirit to surrender to you. What must we do now? We want to live a life of love. We need to continually seek spiritual strength. We need to continually fall to the Holy Spirit. We need to continue in faith. We need to let our roots grow deep in love. Deep in God's love. Deep in God's love. We need to know God's love. And we need to know God's discipline. We can't just want love and want discipline. There's both sides to it, which brings a balance. In a family as well, our children and we need love and discipline. We can't just have love. We must have discipline as well. In conclusion, what must we do? In conclusion, I said the two main things was to be strengthened and to comprehend and to know God's love. Each of us needs to have a desire. Lord, I want to be strengthened. I desire to be empowered by you, to overcome whatever I'm struggling with, to walk in victory, to be a witness for you. There must be a desire. You must be willing. We cannot in our own strength, but God empowers us. So we desire, and then we ask, and we surrender. Surrender to Him. To Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we ask or even imagine, according to His power. Remember, His power is at work in us. His Holy Spirit, we've been born again into the family of God by the Spirit. That same Spirit is working in us. Let us bow our heads. Maybe you can just talk to the Lord, and I will just pray you as well. Tell the Lord what's on your heart. Speak to Him. Ask Him to help you. Whatever the Holy Spirit has highlighted to you, whatever He's given you, whatever He's said, say thank you for it. Thank you, receive it. And you may not even have time now to reflect on it, but when you get home, make time to reflect. Make time to look at these two aspects. How am I being empowered by God's Spirit? How am I being strengthened? How am I experiencing and knowing? Do I know God's love? Do I really know the love of God? Is it just in my head? Or is it truly my experience? Is it truly my way of life? Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you want to empower each and every one of us. You want to empower us. You want us to experience your love so that we can live as the family of God, so that we can thrive as the family of God, so that your name can be glorified right here on earth, not waiting only when you return, but here on earth amidst the persecution, amidst the challenges, amidst the world that is falling apart. Your kingdom is eternal. Your kingdom does not stagnant. May we grow, may we glow, may we move, and may we move in the power of your Holy Spirit. May we experience your love and your kindness, and may we go and share with others. Not keeping the good news to ourselves, not keeping kindness to ourselves, not keeping all the blessings you blessed us with. May we share mercy. Whatever it is, each one, everyone has a purpose and a role in your body. Thank you, Lord. Bless each and everyone. We pray that we will be strengthened.
Please stand and sing our last song, Father, I place into your hands.
Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot do. Father, I place into your hands the things that I've been through. Father, I place into your hands the way that I should go, for I know I always can trust you. Father, I place into your hands my friends and family. Father, I place into your hands the things that trouble me. Father, I place into your hands the person I would be, for I know I always can trust you. Father, I love to see your face, we love to hear your voice. Father, we love to sing your praise and in your name rejoice. Father, we love to walk with you and in your presence rest, for we know we always can trust you. Father, I want to be with you and do the things you do. Father, I want to speak your words that you are speaking to. Father, I want to love the ones that you will draw to you, for I know that I am one with you.
Amen. May you go forth in faith, hope, and love, and be a blessing wherever God sends you. Amen. Please have some tea and coffee. Amen. Join us.